All right, let me share a scripture with you. Exodus chapter 33 says this. Then he said to him, Moses speaking to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, that you've asked. You found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please, Moses said back to God, show me your glory. What a statement to God that Moses made in this moment. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring life and light to your word, that your word would be revealed in our hearts, that we would hear what you're speaking, that we would stand up in all that you've called us to, and that we would come alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of this message is Show Me Your Glory, and this morning I want to just look for a few minutes at this incredible encounter, this amazing encounter between Moses and God. Really one of the most intimate and dynamic conversations between a man and his God that is found in the scriptures. And if you're a dad, how many dads we got in the room? There's no greater expression of respect and honor than when one of your children, your son or your daughter, come to you and ask to hear about something about your life that was glorious. When your child comes to you and say, Dad, tell me something that you did. Tell me about your glory. There's something in the heart of man that just brings such a sense of honor and respect to hear that request. What an intimate and powerful request made by Moses to God. And as I thought about this, I realized that not only is Moses in the scriptures, he was a mediator between Israel and God. And he was a picture and a type and a shadow of Jesus, who is the mediator between us and God. But I realized also that Moses is like a picture of the last day's church coming before God on the mountain. Come on, this is the last day's church rising up today. I wouldn't want to be alive in any other time in history than right now. This is the time when things are flying. I woke up this morning and I saw these pictures of an eagle flying through the sky, and I realized that God is like an eagle flying through the sky right now, and we can jump on his back. And every time we come into the presence of God, we're stepping into the glory of God. And we're getting up on the back of an eagle that's flying across the earth. And you might think, well, there's so much going on in my life. Yeah, they are, but it's just details. The goodness of God is the greatness of God. The goodness of God is flowing. The goodness of God is like an eagle flying through the sky, rising up above the things of the world. And every time we come into a place like this and sing the songs and enter into the presence of God like we did moments ago, we step up onto the mountain of God, into the glory of God every single time. If I could put Worship Nation in my back pocket, I would put them in my back pocket and go everywhere I go, listening to them sing, listening to them praise God and singing with them. Because it's the worship of God that he dwells in the praises of his people. We're not just here singing songs and making music. We're singing to the greatness of God. We're welcoming the presence of God into our lives. Come on, he's like an eagle soaring in the skies. And even though this time seems like it's filled with trouble, and it is, the glory of God is rising up like never before. It's a cry of a child's heart to know the glory of their father. I remember when I was a kid, maybe 8 or 9 years old, I thought to myself, man, my dad is so smart. He knows everything. He should be the president of the United States. And so I went to him. I said, Dad, you should be the president of the United States. And he just looked at me and he just started laughing. And I thought, why is he laughing? I mean it, I'm serious. He thought that was really funny. Come on now. That is kind of funny, because if somebody wants to be the president of the United States today, they're out of their mind. But I know when I think about that, what a pleasure that was for my dad to hear that coming from his little boy, that I thought of him that way. You know, God is the glorious one. He is the only one worthy. He is the one filled with power and life and light. And when we come to him and say, show us your glory, it brings honor and glory to his name. It brings respect that he is due. So Moses in this intimate moment said, show us your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. And so it's so interesting. Moses' life, we're going to pick up reading in the book of Exodus in chapter 19. And as you study scripture, you come to realize that this is like the center of the Torah, this section of scripture from Exodus 19, which covers Israel's journey out of Egypt. Moses delivered them out of Egypt. And they came to Mount Sinai at this point in chapter 19, where Moses went up into the glory of God. And from Exodus 19 all the way through the rest of the book of Exodus, which has 40 chapters, so 21 more chapters, the entire book of Leviticus, and the first 10 chapters of Numbers all cover this next year of time in Moses' and Israel's life experience when Moses went up the mountain, Mount Sinai, at least seven times, receiving all the wisdom of God, receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving 42 more powerful laws, ultimately receiving all 613 laws of God, coming back and forth, mediating between Israel and God several different times, seeing the people of Israel become so intimidated that they didn't want to enter the presence of God when they saw the fire and the smoke. It's so interesting to think that all of this scripture covers 1 year of time. It's so significant what God did in Moses' life. And it's so important for us to realize that it's speaking volumes and pictures for us as the last days church, that we have the heart of Moses going up into the glory of God, that when we do, our face shines, we're transformed, we're changed into another man, we're changed into another woman. We become who God created us to be in his presence. So Moses spent, you know, Moses went twice up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, not once, twice. Remember the first time he came down, he saw the golden calf and he threw the tablets on the ground, burst them up. And then he interceded and mediated between God and Israel so that God wouldn't destroy his people for their sin. And God said, come back up, carve yourself a couple more tablets of stone. And so Moses went back up for another 40 days. It was the second trip up for the second 40 days when Moses' face shone, when he came down with his face glory, the glory of God shining off of it. 80 days, nearly 3 months of time in that year, Moses spent in the cloud of God on top of Mount Sinai. That will change somebody. Come on, imagine this day in which we're living, this day which is filled with all kinds of conflict. There's never been, like Pastor Mike has shared the last couple of weeks, the level of stress and anxiety and depression. The stats on this are mind-blowing, what is happening to this generation, including us. People say, well, I don't want a crutch of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you don't need a crutch, I don't know what world you're living in. I need every bit of help I can get. I need the strength of God to fill me. I don't have the strength to make it. But with Jesus, I can do anything. What seems impossible to me is possible for him. And so Moses is a picture of us as the church in this day, making it through the darkness, because deep darkness is covering the face of the earth. But the glory of God is rising up. The glory of God is brighter than ever before. And as we step into his presence, we step into his glory, and we're filled with his attributes. We're filled with his strength, with his wisdom, with his purity, with his holiness, with his heart, that we can walk in this day. So we want to be like Moses going up on the mountain. You can't spend too much time in the presence of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The second coming of Jesus is imminent. In other words, it's going to happen. There's a day that it's happening. We don't know what day that is, but we do know this. Every day that passes by is one day less until he comes. There's going to be a moment. Could it be that we see it when the skies split and there's a trumpet sound and every eye sees the glory of God, the glory of Jesus coming to the earth? The Bible says in several places that no one will see the face of God and live. Well, could it be that when we see his face, we'll be transported into his presence, and the church will be raptured into his glory, and we'll stand with him in his glory? Come on, today is the day to rise up. Today is the day to make a stand. Today is the day to say yes to Jesus. What a day to be alive. This is a revival of worship that we're living in. It's a revival of worship because it's the presence of God that we need. We don't need more teaching. We don't need more theology. We need the presence of God. He is coming, and he's coming in his glory. And the word glory, kabod, in the Hebrew, means weightiness, that which is substantial or heavy. Glory is honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificence, fame, dignity, riches, excellency. Show us your glory is the intimate and powerful cry of the church. Let it be the cry of our heart in this place. Lord, show us your glory. So let's look at Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." I love that, how I bore you on eagle's wings. This is how God is. Come on, let's get on the eagle wings of God in this day. Come on, as a church, we're going to step into the presence of God like never before. The presence of God is going to become manifest, real, dynamic, heavy, filled with the weight and glory of God in this place. It's always intimidating, but it's extremely intimate. And so we push past our flesh, and we push past our sin to step into his presence where the help of God is found for our life. Moses spoke about it. He said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings, God said, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed heed my voice, obey my voice, and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God has always wanted a kingdom of priests, not a kingdom with priests. He wants every one of us to rise up into being a priest, a king and a priest in his presence. He doesn't want a house filled with priests. He wants a kingdom of priests. And that's who every single one of us are in Jesus. We become a priest to him, and we become a king on this earth, declaring in the name of Jesus what God's will is. It goes on in verse 16 of chapter 19. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, whenever you hear the third day, open your eyes in that scripture, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Moses went up. The church went up. We go up. God is calling us up. Number one this morning, God is calling you up. Come on, up is good. Down is bad. I like things to be real simple. Just go up. Don't let anything keep you from going up. Don't let your sin, don't let condemnation, don't let shame, don't let time, busyness, distractions, don't let anything keep you from going up into His presence. His presence is where we find His help. His presence is where we find our strength. His presence is good. God is calling us up into His presence. He's calling His people to a higher place, a place of refuge and strength. The mountaintop presence of God is both intimidating and it's intimate. And it's always been the heart of God to be intimate with His people. But His people must come to Him. All we need to do is go up. Adam and Eve in the garden, it was such an intimate experience between God and Adam and Eve. The Bible speaks about how Adam could tell, he could hear the sound of God walking in the garden. It speaks of the intimacy of that relationship. We could never be too intimate with God. But the problem is sin. Flesh, our flesh, and human weakness in our frailty. And so it's intimidating to come into the presence of God because we think, can I really go into His presence? Thank God for Jesus who made a way for us. We see this same kind of dynamic of the intimidation, but the intimacy of God played out in Elijah's life when he was in the cave. Remember, he ran from Jezebel, ended up in the cave. And he said, Lord, where are you? This is enough for me. I'm done. And God came to him in the wind, in the fire, in the earthquake, or I should say he didn't come, but he brought wind. He brought the first earth, wind, and fire concert. And while Elijah may have danced for a minute, God wasn't in it. But then the scripture says that a still small voice, it's the intimacy that God desires in us. He wants to be able to speak to our heart that we would hear Him. He wants to whisper in our heart. The most dynamic points of my life have always come out of a whisper from God. I heard God whisper to me about Chrissy the moment I was ready to destroy our relationship with words that I could never retrieve. Right before I shouted out in anger and jealousy over her and spoke things that would have ended our relationship, the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, be very careful what you say. This is your wife. When he said it, all the rage, all the jealousy that was in my heart vanished and I was filled with joy. I was transformed in an instant by the whisper of God. The whisper of God is so intimate and so powerful. I remember years later after being married for several years, and I said to the Lord driving in the car one morning, I said, Lord, I haven't heard your voice for so long. And, you know, just crickets, no answer. And then later that day as I was driving home, which often happens to me when I wasn't thinking about it any longer, the Lord whispered to me. Come on, His whisper will shake you. And I was just driving along, and he said, to the extent that you speak to your wife, I'll speak to you. I thought, whoa, that'll wake you up. And I realized he's answering my earlier question, because I said, I haven't heard from you for so long. That took care of, that was at least worth 15 years of marriage counseling right there, and one little whisper. God is good. His whisper pierces into our heart. It's the intimacy of God. So interesting, Abraham's life. Remember, God, he's so filled with promise. The promise of God was so tied up in Abraham having his first son, Isaac, who became Israel. And at one point, God came to Abraham and said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him to me in an act of worship on the mountain. And so Abraham, in obedience, began to fulfill that request by God. And took his son, put him on a horse, and brought him up the mountain, and tied his son onto a stack of wood. And Abraham even went to the point where he pulled his a dagger out. And the scripture says, from the heavens, a voice spoke up and said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. And I believe right in the moment when God could see the heart, he knew that Abraham was actually going to fulfill that word. If he had taken his son out, he was actually laying down the promise of God, not just his only son, but all of the promise of God was tied up in his son's life. And God gave him a sacrifice, a ram caught in a bush. And God said, don't do it, Abraham. I've got you covered. But God saw something really incredible. He saw that a man could lay down the things that in his life that he cared about most. And he could put God first. And God said, don't you give your son, I'm going to give my son. And so God was the one who gave his only begotten son for you and I. Jesus came, and when he suffered on the cross and when he breathed his last breath, do you know what happened in the temple? The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The veil was separating people from entering into the Holy of Holies, the place of close intimacy of God. When Jesus breathed his last, that veil was torn in two, giving entrance to all of us into the Holy of Holies, into intimacy with God. This is a season. This is a time for the church to rise up in intimacy, to take our place, to get past the intimidation and say, I'm coming in, Lord. I'm coming in. I'm not letting my sin, I'm not letting any addiction, I'm not letting any condemnation or shame keep me out. I'm stepping into your presence. And this is where we're going to find help and strength. And so Abraham showed us that intimacy with God requires our everything. He laid everything down. He was willing to lay it down, and God blessed his life, that his descendants would be like the sand on the seashore and the stars in the skies. Oh, what a beautiful story. And then we see in the upper room when the church was born, Jesus told the disciples, just go into there and wait. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will fill you with power. And amazingly, the first time they did what he said, and they waited in the upper room. And imagine that scene, 120 people in the upper room with things to do, lives to live, businesses to run, families to care for, laying it all down, just waiting like Jesus had told them to do. And then the wind came, like the sound of a rushing wind, and fire came in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all 100% began to speak in tongues, and they flooded out of that upper room and began to change and turn the world upside down. The same thing is happening in this season for the church. When we wait on God, when we lay the things down, when we give all our everything to him, the Holy Spirit will flood our hearts, will flood our lives, fill us with the power of God, and we will be the eagles flying in the air in this day for the church, rising up in the strength of God. So interesting, in Exodus chapter 20, one chapter later, after 19, there's this flashback that we see when Moses stood at the foot of Mount Sinai. It says this in verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes. They saw God coming on the mountain, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. What an insight into that situation, because we wonder, why didn't the people go up? God had actually asked for the people. He wanted a kingdom of priests. He had asked for them all to go, but they stood back in fear. Don't ever let the intimidation factor stop you from entering into the presence of God. Step right past it. Keep it simple. Go up, go up, go up into the presence of God. He wants you to come and join him. He loves you. He's proven it. He demonstrated his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The people did not want to go up because they didn't want to die. And there is always a death in the presence of God. We die to ourselves. We die to our sin. But a death always precedes resurrection life. Jesus said this, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save their life. Going up is never easy, but it's never insignificant. Number two, the devil wants to keep us down. Come on. If the devil wants to keep me down, you better believe I'm going up. If the devil wants to keep it quiet in this place, you better believe we're going to shout louder. We're going to do whatever it takes to let Jesus be glorified in this place. We're going to step into the presence of God like never before. So when Moses is going up into the mountain, Aaron and the people of Israel are going the opposite direction. They're going down. Unbelievably, right in the front of God, right in front of his face, they mold this golden calf and they burn their own fire. God has got a fire on the mountain, but they make their own fire. The world is building its own fire. But the fire of God is an all-consuming fire. There is no sin, no condemnation, no shame that can withstand the fire of God. The fire of God consumes it all. And so while Moses went up, Aaron went down. Moses went up and was filled with passion and zeal for God, while Aaron went down and was lost in rebellion and sin. But Moses came down from the mountain. God said, "You better get down there. They're screwing up." Moses came down, grabbed the golden calf, threw it in the fire. He took that gold, ground it into dust, threw that dust into the water, and made the children of Israel drink the bitter water. Aren't you glad that Jesus has drinking the bitter water for us? So incredible to realize that Jesus, his first miracle was turning water to wine, and his last act on the cross was to drink sour wine. He drank the bitter water for us. We don't have to carry our sin. You don't have to walk with your sin. You can let your sin go. You can let your rebellion go. You can step into the presence of God. Jesus has made a way for us. Let's keep it simple. Go up. Don't go down. Go up in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus wash you clean and step into the presence of God. Jesus became the sacrifice for sin. One sacrifice for sin forever. I love this scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. It says this, verse 12 through 14. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected those who are being sanctified." One offering, the offering of sin, of the offering of Jesus for our sin, has cleansed us and made us right before God. The greater the depth of sin in our life, the louder the cry of grace from the cross. Ah, don't you love Jesus? Number three, the glory of God is his goodness. It's so interesting what happened here. That when we read that scripture earlier, Exodus chapter 33, this is Moses' seventh time up the mountain. It's when he spent 40 days up there. And it says this. He said, "I will not go with the people of Israel because of the sin of the golden calf." But Moses interceded for Israel, and God changed his mind. And this is when Moses then said to God, "Show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." The glory of God is his goodness. Don't you love that? His glory is his goodness. The very next morning, Exodus chapter 34, God fulfilled his promise of showing Moses his glory. And so it says this, "So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones," Moses did. "Then Moses rose early in the morning, went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" Don't you love it when God displayed his glory to Moses? He showed him that he is good. God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness. When Solomon dedicated the temple, they brought the Ark of the Covenant, put it into its place. 120 trumpeters began to play their trumpets. The singers began to sing. And when they sang in the temple dedication, they sang, "For he is good, for his mercy endures. And when they did, a cloud filled the temple so that they couldn't even minister any longer. When Jehoshaphat put the praise team out in front of the army in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he confused the enemy because the singers began to sing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. The glory of God is his goodness." It was the second trip up the mountain, the second 40 days for Moses, that caused Moses' face to glow. It was the goodness of God that lit him up. Come on, the goodness of God. The first time that Moses heard a name from God, it was, "I am." Remember at the bush, the burning bush. It was like God said, "I am the eternal, majestic God of the universe who knows no equal. The one who will deliver Israel out of Egypt with miracles, signs, and wonders." But the second name that Moses heard that God gave him was of a loving Savior who forgives sins, the God of mercy and grace and abounding in goodness. Moses had already seen the glory of God, the glory of his hand, what he could do, his greatness, the miracles that delivered them out of Egypt. But now he's asking, "Show me your glory, the glory of your heart, the glory of your person, Lord. Show me who you are." And God responded and showed him that he's a good God, that he's filled with mercy, that he has good thoughts, plans. The thoughts that he has for us are more than we'd ever know. He's written out your life for you. It's better than you would ever dream possible. It's the goodness of God that is his glory. A bride respects the greatness of her husband, but it's his goodness that is an invitation into intimacy with him. It's the goodness of God that draws us in to being close to him. And Jesus is a perfect demonstration of this. He's a declaration of the greatness and the goodness of God. He demonstrated I love John chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "No man has seen God at any time, but the Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him." It shows us that everything Jesus did, when he raised up the woman caught in adultery and said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "They've all left." And he said, "Well, I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more." It showed his heart of mercy. Everywhere he went, it was like the goodness of God was being pulled out of him. The woman who touched the hem of his garment, who was suffering for 12 years. Yes, it was the greatness of God that caused a miracle to flow, but she pulled on the goodness of him that caused the pain in her life to leave, caused the hardship, the trouble of 12 years of suffering to vanish from life. All she did was say, "If I could just touch his garment, I will be healed." It's the goodness of Jesus that displays the glory of God. The last days church will know the goodness of God. We're going to walk in it. We're going to live in it. We're going to thrive in the goodness of God. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, boy, was that a journey. I had been a Christian for at least 10 years. I was in total judgment of anybody who expressively worshiped God, anybody who spoke about God as if they knew him intimately. And I thought, man, they're just trying to always show off their spirituality. Why not keep it to yourself and just let God see it? And so I always had this judgment against people that are kind of doing what we did this morning. And then I met Chrissy, and she was one of those. Filled with the Spirit of God. Beautiful. And I thought, man. And I got to know her, and she was like totally for real. Like she knew, she loved Jesus. I didn't even know who Jesus was compared to her. And I realized, man, that's like for real. It's authentic. And so a crack in my structure formed. And I realized, man, maybe there's something there. Well, lo and behold, there is something there. The Holy Spirit. And so I said, "Lord, I want what she has." And so I went to a pastor at a church in town that I knew these things were going on. And I said, "Would you please pray for me?" And he laid his hand on me and began to pray in the name of Jesus that I would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when he did, I felt the presence of God come. And then I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. I began to pray in tongues. And when I did, tears began to flow down my cheeks. I hadn't cried for 10 years. This made me into a blubbery little boy. Everywhere I went, I'd turn the radio on, and I don't care what song was playing, I would just begin to cry. My heart was totally broken. I was touched. I became so intimate with God. I realized, oh my gosh, He knows my name. He knows my name. He gave me a miracle. And my whole life was revolutionized, and I became someone who followed after the presence of God, and I wanted to know Him more and more, and I became intimate with Him, and I built a secret place where I came to know Him, and I shared my heart, and He would whisper and share His to me. Oh, don't you love the intimacy that God will come in? How does He do it? With every one of us all at once. He's good. He's filled with greatness and power, but His goodness is displayed in His intimacy. His goodness is His glory. Come on, what does this world need right now except a bunch of us coming out of our places and saying, God loves you. He has mercy over your life. There's grace for you. You don't have to earn it. You can step into the goodness of God. Oh, we're living in a time when the goodness of God is going to flow like never before. And so, in closing and finally, number four, we are the sons and daughters of His glory. Come on, we are the ones filled with the glory of God. You and I, filled with the glory of God, filled with the greatness and the goodness of God. And so all I would say to us, just as in an application, is really simple. Go up. Come on, go up. Don't let anything keep you down. Rise up in the strength of God. Fill your secret place with worship. Fill your place when you meet with God alone. Fill it with worship. Let the intimacy of God touch your heart. Don't compare your secret place with anybody else's. It's your secret place. It's your relationship with Jesus. It's no one else's. It's you and Him. It's an intimate relationship. He wants to hear the thoughts of your heart. He wants to hear the whispers of the desires of your life. And He will in turn whisper back and speak and lead and direct and reveal and pour out His wisdom and His grace upon your life. Come on, He's good. He loves you. Build a secret place filled with the intimacy of God. Let the worship of God fill that place and therefore get filled with His glory. Live, walk, and talk in the goodness of God. Let's be goodness spreaders, hope spreaders, just like Pastor Mike, hope dealers. In Jesus' name. Here's a last scripture or two that I want to share. Ephesians 3:16 says this, "And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power." Come on, the glory of God will fill us with His divine might and explosive power. The last day church will see His face. Amen. And when we do, we're out of here. Revelation 1:12-18 says this, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Come on, we're going to see that day. The church is rising up. Let's fulfill all the calls, all the purposes, all the designs of God in us. Let's not hold anything back in Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your strength and your power. Let your glory be revealed in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the life of your word, the revelation of your word. Thank you that we can stand in this place today, Lord, that we've made it this far. That you've brought us here. You've brought us through many different things. But God, we're here. We're with you, in you, for you, available to you. Lord, we give you our heart. We give you our desires. We lay everything down at your feet, Lord. Would you take us and use us? Let your glory shine in our life, Lord. We thank you for it. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, today is your day. Today is the day to lay it all down, to say yes to him, to go up with him. Do you know that he has given his all for you? He laid it all down for you. And now we can come to him and just say yes to Jesus. Yes to his sacrifice. We can say no to our former way of living and yes to a new life in him. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, we're going to say a simple prayer. We're going to all pray it in this room, just repeating after me, a simple prayer, asking him to come in and be the Lord and Savior of our life. And when we do, you'll enter into eternity with him. The scripture says, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father. So pray this simple prayer if you want to receive Jesus this morning into your heart. Pray this simple prayer with us. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. Jesus, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. I repent of all my sins, and I turn to you. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up so we can see you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, amen. Yeah, see those hands? Praise God. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Hey, we love you. Thank you so much for being a part of the service today. We're going to spend just a moment in worship. And I would just invite anybody that desires prayer today to come on down with the altar team. Come on up and let's be ready to pray for anybody that desires prayer. If there's anything you need from God, if you're going through a difficulty and you need a miracle from God, come down. We'll pray for you. If you did receive Jesus, we're gonna pray with you and encourage you some more. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, come down. We'll pray for you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Come down and receive prayer. In Jesus' name. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. So grateful for you being here this morning. Don't forget, next Sunday night is revival night. It's going to be a fantastic evening, and also a special guest that morning. We love you. God loves you. Live strong for him, and come down and receive prayer if you desire prayer for anything this morning. Amen.